Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 39 in the series entitled The Souls Go to Court, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning, Perek Yud Gimel.
It's Daf Yud Ches Amud Alef, page 35, chapter 13. In the previous chapter, we learned and we analyzed the spiritual profile of the man who can be termed as the hero of the Tanya, the Beinoni. The Beinoni is the ordinary man in the sense that he experiences on a very conscious manner the inherent duality and multiplicity that exists within him between two souls, two consciousnesses, an egotistical soul, a nefesh abahamis, and a divine transcendental soul, a nefesh alikis, and as a result of this dichotomy, experiences taivas, cravings, lusts, and desires, often to unhealthy things, to non-spiritual entities, to negative objects and things. But nevertheless, despite his cravings, despite his negative lusts, he never sins because he exercises full control over his life and thus never allows the negative impulses, instincts, and desires to come to fruition. So he's an ordinary man, he has two souls and he has to struggle with them. But nevertheless, he never sins and only allows his positive impulses to be realized on a behavioral level in his day-to-day life. Or in the Tanya terminology, it is only the garments of his divine soul that fill and pervade his behavioral life, never the garments of the animal soul. And now we will continue with chapter 13. According to what has been explained in the previous chapter, Yuvan Lashin Maimer Azal, we may understand the terminology, the Lashin, that our sages use in the Gemara, saying that Beinonim Zev Zeshaifta, that Beinonim are judged by both. By Zev Zeh, and the Alter Rebbe explains in parenthesis, Pirush, this means Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara, both by their good and evil inclination. And the Gemara proves this from a Pasuk. The Ksiv, it says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Tes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Ki Yamayid Liyamin Evyayin Lahishia Mishayfti Nafshe. He, referring to the Almighty, stands at the right hand of the poor man to save him from them that judge his soul. The plural, shayftei nafshe, not shayfet nafshe, not from that one who judges, but from them that judge, indicates that there is a present of two judges within this evyon, within this poor man. Who are the two judges? The evil inclination and the good inclination. And this is referring to the Gemara, which Reb Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, has quoted in the beginning of the Tanya in the first chapter. Gemara in Brachas Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis, where Tanya Reb Yosi Aglili Yomer, Reb Yosi Aglili says, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Sheft. Tzadikim are judged solely by the good inclination. Shenemar, the pasuk brought for that, is also a pasuk in Tehillim Kuftes. V'libi chalol b'kirbi. My heart is void within me. Rishayim, yetzirah shayft. Rishayim, on the other extreme, are judged only by the yetzahara. Shenemar brings a pasuk also from Tehillim Kuftes. Ne'um peshel arasha b'kerev libi, ein pachad alakim l'negadeinov. And finally, beinanim, who stand in the middle between the tzaddikim and rishayim, zev zeh shayftan shenema, ki yamid li minevyin laishiyam shayftin afsh. And on this Gemara, Amar Rabbe kegayin ana beinani. Upon discussing what the difference is between tzaddik beinani and rasha, Rabbi wants to bring it to life. So Rabbi says, I'll give you a living example of what is a benini. Look at me. Kagoyin an a benini. Amalei Abayis. Abayis tells him, Leishavik marchai lechal berya. My master is not allowing anyone to live. Because if he's a benini, and Rabbi was that's considered the tzaddik of the generation, one of the gedolei hador, if he's only a benini, he's not allowing anyone else to breathe. One second, you want to know what shaifta means? This is what Alter Rebbe will explain. In light, that's what he's saying, in light of what has been explained before, we'll understand very clearly the terminology that our sages use in this Gemara. And Alter Rebbe continues. Note that our sages did not say that he, the Beinani, is ruled by both. Beinanim zevezem moishlim. Both inclinations are moishlim, are rulers in his life. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. Why? Ki kishayesh eizei shlito memshala liyetzer harabir k'tano. Because where the evil nature gains any rule and dominion, albeit momentarily, over the small city, which is the metaphor used throughout for man's body and all the limbs of the body. Afilu lefisha kala. Even if it's just for a shakala, it's momentarily. Nevertheless, nikr rasha bayis hasha, one is deemed wicked, a rasha at that time. He's not a benini anymore. So therefore, our sages cannot use the term that tzaddikim, yetzer tov is moishel, rishayim, yetzer hara is moishel. And Beinanim, both are Moshe. Both rule his life. No. If both elements within him, if both souls, if both inclinations, if both natures, the good one and the negative one, rule his life, he's not the Beinanim anymore. He is not the real Beinanim that is described in the Tanya, what a Beinanim really is. Ella. So what is going on? What is going on is indicated in one word, Shaiftam. The evil inclination of the Beinani is no more than, for example, a magistrate or a judge who expresses his opinion on a point of law. Nevertheless, it's possible that this decision of this particular magistrate is not necessarily final, does not become the psak halacha. It does not become the final verdict. Why? Why not? If he's a dayan, if he's a judge, and this is his opinion of what the verdict should be, this is his opinion of what the final conclusion of this case should be, what is the law? So why is it possible that this decision is not final? Because he's not the only one. There is another magistrate or judge who disagrees with him. It then becomes necessary, in order to formulate a binding decision, to arbitrate between the two. And the final verdict will rest with the machria, with the arbitrator. One second. Let's first finish what he's saying, and then you can ask questions. Let's first get the picture of what Alter Rebbe is saying here. And this is, of course, common practice, common phenomenon. We have a court case, a case that's brought, let's say, before three judges. And these judges will actually administer the verdict, the final decision, which will be implemented in reality. Nevertheless, it's possible there should be a disagreement among them. One judge who's in control of the case feels, or his opinion is, that the verdict should be thus and thus. Does it mean that this will be the verdict that is read at the closing of the case? Not necessarily. It could be it will never reach the step of a psak halacha. Why? Because another judge disagrees with him. He holds that this person, for example, is not innocent, is guilty. And over here we must introduce the third judge, who is the machri, who is the arbitrator, which either compromises or agrees with one of them, and that becomes the psak halacha. Kach, similarly, in the battle that the Beinoni experiences, we have the same scenario. Hayetzer hara eimer daite b'chal asmali shebelev. The evil inclination states its opinion in the left part of the Beinoni's heart. As the Alter Rebbe explained in previous chapters, chapter 9, that the Yetzer Hara, the Nefesh HaBahamis, is very much connected to the heart, and in the heart itself to the left ventricle of the heart. As we discussed then at length what the meaning in this is. So the Yetzer Hara says his opinion in the Bein in his life. What does it mean, says the opinion? Of course, we're not talking about a case. It's not exactly, we don't exactly have the picture over here of a case, court, guilty or innocent. But the same phenomenon occurs in the Bein in his life on a daily basis or whatever it may be. Where the Yetzer Hara says its opinion. Well, says it says its opinion. It expresses what its perspective is in the Bein in his heart. Which in simple terms means that the Bein in the experience is a craving, a lust, a desire, gravitates to something which the Nefesh HaBahamis, which the Yetzer Hara wants and feels comfortable with and wants to engage in. Umehalev, Oyla L'mayich L'harab. From the heart, the desire ascends to the mind for contemplation. As discussed in chapter 12, this ascent is automatic. Whenever a desire is awakened in the heart, the brain will contemplate it. Because the mind is the central nervous system where every sensation, where every feeling is experienced and sensed and felt. So when the Beinoni experiences this lust or desire to something negative, to something unholy, to something ungodly, immediately he becomes aware of it in his mind, and thoughts concerning this reality enter his brain. So what is the role that the Nefesh HaBahamis plays? Shefet says his opinion and says it very clearly. This is what I think should be happening with your life at this moment. This is my opinion, my perspective. You have a life, and the question is how you are going to behave in a moment, in an hour, in a day concerning this fellow person. As discussed at the conclusion of chapter 12, the scenario where a person, for example, insults you. Now the question is, how are you going to respond? So the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is the egotistical dimension of man, it's not the transcendental, idealistic, godly element of man, immediately says his opinion. His opinion is, what should now happen in your life? Take revenge, or begin hating him, or experience animosity towards this person. This is the Nefesh HaBahamis' opinion. And you access this opinion through your mind. You're aware of it. You contemplate it. You're very conscious of it through your mind. If the Nefesh HaBahamis would be the only shayfet, so that's it. So you implement it. The issue is that the Beinoni has another shayfet. And he's very well aware of this other shayfet. He listens to this other shayfet. He puts his ear close to himself to hear this other shayfet. Umiyad chaylik alav ha-shayfet ha-sheni. Immediately. Not an hour later. Not a day later. If it's an hour later, it's not a Beinoni. Immediately. Upon its ascent to the mind, it is challenged by the second judge. Who's the second judge? Who? Ha-nefesh ha-lekish shebemayach. The divine soul residing in the mind. But although it resides in the mind, it extends into the right part of the heart, where the good inclination abides. In the chol hayimani, the good inclination reveals itself. So although it resides in the mind, primarily it extends itself also to the heart. And this is what characterizes the life of the Beinoni. The tzaddik, yetzer tov sheftan. The tzaddik doesn't have another opinion. Not only yetzer tov is meishel his life, yetzer tov sheftan. The only magistrate, the only opinion giver in his life is the yetzer tov. There's b'chlal no other opinion. It's not pshad that a certain circumstance occurs, or a certain moment of his life occurs, and then he is torn, he is dichotomized by two perspectives, by two ideas, by two trends, by two opinions. No. The tzaddik has absolute harmony, because it is only the nefesh halikis that speaks. But the beinoni is not the tzaddik. The beinoni is the ordinary man who has two yitzarim and two nefashes, and both are alive and well. So zev is a shayftan. Both of them act as a shayfet. And he senses their both of their ideas and both of their perspectives and both of their perceptions. So the Nefesh HaBahamis says, I think you should act like this. Comes the Nefesh HaLikis and says, no, absolutely not. I believe and I think you should act like this. Now what happens? You need a machriya, you need an arbitrator. Zogdal Terebbe v'halacha k'divriya machriya. The final verdict of how you should act rests with the arbitrator, who HaKadosh Baruch. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Ha'ozer L'Hayetzer Tov, who comes to the aid of the Yetzer Tov, enabling it to prevail over the other judge, the Yetzer. K'maymer Azal, as our sages say in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Il Malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezrei Ein Yachalei. The Gemara says that Yitzrei Shal Adam is Gabriel of Bechol Yoim. The evil inclination of man gathers strength daily. And if the Almighty did not help the Yetzer Tov, he could not overcome the evil inclination. V'ha'ezer. And the help that Hashem grants him, he ha'are shemeirer Hashem al nefesh halikis, is the glow of divine light that illuminates his divine soul. Liyos lo yisrei u'shlita al sichlus haktzil v'yetzer hara ki yisrein ha'ar min ha'cheshach kana. That it may gain superiority and mastery over the folly of the fool, the evil inclination, a dominion paralleling the superiority of light over darkness, as stated above in chapter 12. So this help that we talk about coming from Hashem is not referred to some type of supernatural or miraculous intervention that is superimposed on the good soul in the midst of the battle, but it's rather the natural chemistry of the Nefesh HaLikis that Hashem grants her. In her very innate nature, a certain dominion and superiority over the foolishness of the Yetzer Hara, as the superiority of light over darkness, where a little bit of light dispels and banishes a lot of darkness, as the Alter Rebbe discussed earlier.
So idea is, Vishtaima, that's when the situation is that there is a possibility to do a mitzvah or to do a mitzvah. So then there is this, I understand this not like this. And therefore, the Hashem is the machriya, and he gives him, and therefore, but it would appear that Hashem is not the machriya when it comes to, let's say, there's no either the mitzvah or the avera. The avera is on the front burner. So then, since when the avera is on the front burner, there's no, just, you know what I mean? Hashem does not, do you understand what I mean?
You're asking, I believe, a simple question.
Okay, yes, I hope.
So why do we find Jews that sin?
Okay.
If whenever there are the two opinions of the Nefesh HaBahamis and the Nefesh HaLikis, Hashem mixes in and says, this is the verdict. So you shouldn't find a Jew that sins. And I don't think that's the case. At least as of this morning. That's a good question. Anyone has any other questions on this issue?
Go ahead.
No, I know. It's a shtick of an answer. I don't know if it works like this. Is that, you know, let's say a man's whole life is one moment is a connected, let's say, to the next, is like a domino theory. So whatever the person's previous have been, let's say he's been bochem more inwardly as well as outwardly, he's been bochem more towards the yetz and tov and nefesh alakis. So therefore, when it comes, let's say, into a situation where he can be bochem to the nefesh bahamas, nefesh alakis, or the yetz and tov or the yetz hara, so Hashem gives mayor into this mitzias. So therefore, he's bochem to the nefesh alakis. But on the other hand, let's say if he's been relating, let's say, to the Bria more in an oven of Nefesh Mahamas, so that he has set up the pinwheels, he has set up the dominoes, so therefore when it comes to, let's say, being Bocha, that he's getting the message from the Sultan, from the Sitcha Achra, that says, no, go for this. If he had already paved the way in such a Sulam, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, what do you want to ask?
I want to let you into it.
No. You're asking if Hashem helps the Nefesh HaLakis, why does the Pasuk say, Lahishia Meshefti Nafshe? Lahishia Meshefti Nafshe doesn't mean, it doesn't say Lahishia Shefti Nafshe. It says Lahishia Meshefti Nafshe. It doesn't say he helps both judges. It says that the Almighty stands at the right hand of the poor man to save him from them that judge his soul. From the duality that judges his soul. Since there is a duality that judges his soul, and therefore there is the fear that he will fall prey as a result of this duality to the side of the Yetzer Hara, so there is a special help from Hashem. You understand? Could you bring me a tissue, please? Right. No, like she. You want to know why he's helping him against both judges? He's not helping him against both judges. He's helping him as a result of the duality that exists in his life because there are two judges. Yeah. Thank you.
The question doesn't even bother. Is the rest that already is already a bear that he's like caught himself? It's
I can give you an answer. You can answer something like this. Them.
Right, on a level, if you challenge, why should come about it? Somebody does this a bear for years, the question's not going
to
come out.
The point is what you're saying very well. There have to be two shaiftim, and the two shaiftim have to be arguing. They have to be arguing. We spoke in chapter 12. With Alter Rebbe discusses the concept of Mayach Shal Talalev. The mind rules the heart. He says, naturally the mind rules the heart. If naturally the mind rules the heart, why are we always sinning? Why are we always falling prey to the cravings of our heart? There's a mind. That's what I was waiting for. One second. I'll address in a moment. I just want to respond to this. So what's the answer? We discussed that. It seems the question is very... The mayach is not stronger than the heart. The heart always wins. Doesn't that say something? Always. I can talk for myself. Always. But the heart wins, yeah? So what's pshat? Pshat is, we discussed then, if you have two people who are wrestling with each other, one is sleeping, and the other one knocks him to the floor, doesn't mean he's stronger. Of course, if the other person is asleep, you knock him to the floor. The only way you could demonstrate that one is stronger than the other is when both are in the ring and are giving it all they got. They are exercising their potentials and maximizing it. And then you throw them to the floor. That means you're stronger, in a certain area at least. If the mayach is asleep and the lev comes into one's life and says, this is what you want to do, and you go ahead and do it, of course the lev is stronger. The Alter Rebbe is talking about another scenario. There is a lev, but there is a mayach. There is a mayach who A, disagrees with the lev, and B, decides that I do not want to do what the Lev is telling me to do. So the Melech gets into the ring and battles the Lev. Zagdal to Rebbe, I promise you that in every situation the Melech will be victorious, because it's natural. There's an inherent quality in man's life that when Melech and Lev are in battle, the Melech is victorious, but the Melech has to be in battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, which the Alter Rebbe describes here, is similar to what I just said, also in the same sense. There's a Yetzer Hara who says its opinion, but then the Yetzer Taif says its opinion. And now there is a battle between two souls, but there's a battle between two souls. Now, Zagdal Alter Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grants inherently into the character of the Nefesh HaLikis a dominion over the Nefesh HaBahamas. So when the two of them are fighting, apparently, why should this one be victorious over the other one? So you say, no, the Nefesh HaLikis will be victorious. And it's only his opinion which will come to fruition on a behavioral level in the life of the Beinoni. So you ask the question, what happened to Mayach Shal Talalev? Disappears. The Alter Rebbe describes here the life of the Beinoni very eloquently, very beautifully. You have two shaifed. This is what basically characterizes the life of the Beinoni. Not one shaifed, there's a dichotomy, there's a serious duality. There is one shaifed pulling him one way, but then there's another shaifed. So now what happens? So the Alter Rebbe said in Perikid Beis, Mayach Shal Tal Alev. The mind controls the heart. You stack a lev. The lev is a shaifed. But if your mayach is, so to speak, screwed on right, and you exercise its potential, so the mayach is shal tal alev. And then the Alter Rebbe adds that mayach shal tal alev is true concerning all areas of life, especially when the mayach wants to take away the lev from not Kedusha to the side of Kedusha, because there is an inherent superiority in Nefesh HaLikis over the Nefesh HaBahamas in Eir over Cheshach, as he discussed there at length. But over here, he doesn't use this model anymore. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezer. The question becomes stronger. We'll see later in this Perek. He goes back to Mayach Shal Tal Alev. Tildasa, you're saying that Tildasa means when he's born, but later on, it's not anymore Mayach Shal Tal Alev. That would be antithetical to the whole message. Teldase means naturally. Teldase over here doesn't mean when he's born versus when he grows up. It means naturally. It's not a superimposed quality. Okay. You're saying that Mayach Shal Tal Alev is in a perfect situation, but it's not always the case, and sometimes we have to have this Sayata Deshmaya, which is correct, but I just want to explain that. This question was posed a long time ago to the Rebbe, to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he responded to this question in writing. Very briefly, he gave two answers to it. And he wrote the answers, both of the answers, extremely in a concise form. But I want to share with you what he has written, and I'm going to explain it to you as I understood it. But everyone can look it up themselves. The answer is published in Lessons of Tanya on this chapter, chapter 13, in all of the editions, the Hebrew, Yiddish, and English editions, as well as in the newly published notes of the Rebbe on the Tanya Yerushimus. He says two points. Point A, the Alter Rebbe is referring over here to the battles of the heart, not to the battles between the mind and the heart. Which means as follows. The Nefesh HaLikis is connected to the Mayach. The Nefesh HaBahamas to the Lev. The Beinoni's Lev experiences a craving as a result of the Nefesh HaBahamas' character, impulses and desires. The Mayach, supposedly, by the Beinoni, is healthy. There is a strong awareness in his life of what is true, what is untrue, what constitutes his own true good, what constitutes
his real purpose in life, and as a result of that, the Moyach disregards the cravings of the Lev and diverts his attention from it to another issue. So thus, the impulses of the Lev are not implemented in his life, in his behavior. But now there's another issue. What about his Lev? What happens with his Lev? The Moyach is an intellectual awareness, ideal, conviction. And that can overpower the Lev. But what is happening in the Lev? We see that when a Jew has a taiva towards something which is seemingly very exciting, and he goes ahead and engages in the taiva, most times, an hour later, a day later, a week later, he regrets it. He doesn't feel good about it. With all the rationalizations he might give himself or give others, he knows at the bottom of his heart, he doesn't feel good. What about the other way around? If he has a very powerful taiva, and the taiva, as they say in Yiddish, berent, it's burning like an oven, and it's seemingly overpowering him and overwhelming him, in whatever issue it may be, everyone knows from their life, could be more intimate issues, less intimate issues, we experience powerful taivas, which are unhealthy ones. But we have an nefesh ha'bahamis, we have a perception that comes from the shell, from the husk dimensions of society, of the universe, so we can't help it. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. So he has that taiva. And at the moment the taiva comes up, you know what happens? The Lev says, this is it. This is what the purpose of life is. This is the greatest thing. This is the most enjoyable thing. It's not easy. It's not easy at that moment. With all the drashas, with all the philosophies, Perikit Beis and Yitzgibel, you have to learn again and again and again. Even then, when the taiva actually comes to the fore, you start thinking, very nice, very nice. This is all philosophy, and this is real. This is what you want. So what do I give? Moyach shalta alav. Come down to Rebbe and Zonk. Listen, remember that this is all the Lev. It's powerful, but it's a husk. It's a shell. The Lev has a powerful PR machine. You once said, the Nefesh HaBaham is one thing. You see, the Nefesh HaLakiz, the Nefesh HaBaham is, it's unfair. Why? Nefesh HaBaham is true. Is honest. Nefesh HaLakiz is true. Nefesh HaBaham is a deceiver, is a liar, has nothing to sell. So it's an unfair fight. If you have a person who everyone knows is a liar, another person everyone knows is truthful, there's no competition. They're both going to be talking. So what Hashem did was, he gave the Nefesh HaBahamas an extraordinary PR machine. And the Nefesh HaLakiz a lousy PR machine. In PR, the Nefesh HaBahamas is much better. What says PR? PR is never what the real thing is. Everyone knows the media and reality have nothing to do with each other. PR is how it's projected, how it's felt. Yeah. Nefesh HaBahamas has an excellent talent in projecting itself as, this is what's good, this is what's wonderful, this is what's extraordinary. But if you probe a little deeper, it's hollow, it's shallow. So Zog Dal Terebbe, don't live shallow, live deep. Live deep. You have to suck the marrow out of every experience, as the saying goes. So when the left comes and shouts that it wants to overwhelm you, fine, gesundheit. Go to the Lev and tell the Lev, wait one moment. Let me just think it over. The Lev knows this is the beginning of defeat because my whole power is the instant gratification, the PR. The moment you're going to start contemplating, it's going to be over. So the Lev screams, no, no. This is what happens. Zogdal Terebbe, tell the Lev, if you have real validity, what do you care to go through the process of Mayach? This is what the Beinoni does. So the Beinoni experiences, has a very powerful awareness of what's true and what's untrue. It doesn't allow the Lev to dictate his life. Now we see, when you overpower that taiva, you disregard that powerful craving, and when you're doing it, the Lev is shouting, Gevald, you're committing suicide on all levels. After a while, the taiva dissipates, and you feel good about yourself. Why do you feel good about yourself? The Nefesh HaBahamas is in the Lev.
And the lev is what you want. Why do you feel good about yourself? I heard once from a chassid that both a mitzvah and an aveira, doing something good and doing something negative, have two elements to them. An ah and an oy. The only difference is in the order. Was heißt? B'shah, someone does something unhealthy, does an aveira. So why do you do it? Stam. Because it's enjoyable. Yeah, because you're going to gain, your ego is going to gain something out of it. So b'shah, you're doing it, there is an ah. Ah. But an hour later is an oy. What did I do? Stupid, foolish. But doing something right is the other way around. B'shah's mice, it's oy. What do I need it for? Who's interested? But an hour later, it's ah. There's a wholesomeness. Why is this? If your lev, is so much connected to the nefesh habahamis, so you should never feel good about it. Mayach shal to the lev. That's it. Truth has a power that, despite what you want, you disregard what you want. No. If that would be the case, Torah and mitzvahs could never be karav elecha. That's why the Alter Rebbe mentions that the other shayfet, the Nefesh HaLikis, comes and says its opinion, and Nefesh HaLikis shebemeicha mispashet b'chol hayimani shebelev makim mishkan hayetzitayv. Because in your lev there's also a Nefesh HaLikis. Because what you truly want is goodness, spirituality, godliness. The Nefesh HaLikis extends in the heart. It's not only in the mayach. It's not just that the Nefesh HaLikis is connected with the vision, what is correct in life. The Nefesh HaLikis is connected to Lev, and Lev is over here the metaphor of the eye. Mayach is the objective vision of man. Lev is the subjective feeling of what I want in my life. The Nefesh HaLikis is in the Lev also. Even the subjective man ultimately wants godliness. And this is one of the cornerstones of the Tanya, to explain how godliness and spirituality could become karav elecha, davar miyoyt, as the Alter Rebbe articulates in the title page. In order it should be karav elecha, davar miyoyt, it should be close to you. It's not enough that you can always exercise power over the nefesh habahamis. The Alter Rebbe has to explain that your real lev, what constitutes your true desires, is godliness and spirituality, however that may be concealed, it may be obscured by the shell of another lev, of a chol asmali. Huh? Can't you say that the good feeling comes because it's mashal hazayna, that the zayna herself doesn't want you should do it? It's a good point. This would be the last aveira of your life, the last mitzvah of your life. But if the Zayna has to continue working in the next minute as well, the Zayna can't afford to show the child that she's happy.